Greetings and welcome to this, our fourth Sonic session for the University of Brighton course, Media and Popular Culture. I'm Tara Brabazon, and today our topic for discussion is youth, or more precisely, what happens to the word youth when we add other words to it, like culture or subculture. We also ask if we are now post-youth. So the task in our Sonic session today is to help you think about the term youth culture and then probe the nature of youth and social change. So on we go. Youth is a semantically rich term. The expression is understood but not explained by the family, school and legal medical institutions and leisure industries. It's a term of saturation where normality is disciplined, controlled and defined. So when we define a particular age group at a specific time as a youth, that provides a shorthand for institutions in power to maintain control over young people. So, youth is far more than a description of an age group or a stage in a rite of passage. I'll prove it to you. Close your eyes and imagine the following scenario. A youth was arrested in a stolen car after speeding around the streets of Brighton. Think about the image that formed in your mind there when the word youth was used. We all carry round in our heads a definition of youth. Since the Second World War, politicians, journalists, teachers, filmmakers, marketers, and academics have created the youth culture that they needed for that time. If you get nothing else out of this Sonic session except this, that will do. Youth culture is an invention. It's a construction of a particular time and a particular place. Remember, it is a social and a political choice to take one part of our identity, such as age, and then place social meanings over that identity. So, for example, an exclusion from full participation in adult society creates not only a consciousness of difference, but a consciousness of exclusion. So, for example, voting rights, drinking rights, driving rights, getting into clubs, getting into pubs, all artificially create a difference on the basis of age. Identities are then built on the basis of that institutional exclusion. This exclusion feeds the needs of the market. A group that is conscious of its difference also spends its money differently. The fashion industry, magazine market, the music industry all base much of their economic success on these ideologies of exclusion and difference. The making of a youth culture is not the result of an ill-defined social change. It's determined by an economic system that requires niche markets to continue and increase the rate and role of consumption. Youth were invented into consciousness when they were required as a market. That is in the post-war, post-1945 world, and particularly through the 1950s, that great period of economic reconstruction and rebuilding. When we over-prioritize the label of youth, then that is to the detriment of other social variables, like class, like race, like religion, and it generates an over-unification of consumption patterns. Ask yourself, just because a group of people are the same age, do they intrinsically share something? More significantly, do they share enough to become a youth culture? It is ironic that youth culture was formed as a marketing force when they had money to spend. Now, when being young is not so much fun, through youth unemployment, youth underemployment, student debt, then suddenly they're not easy consumers. So we're now in the era of a post-youth culture. It is not a good time to be old, to be young, to be poor, black, female, or gay. Youth unemployment, when matched with the HIV/AIDS crisis, generates a very different social context for young people to define their identity. Unlike for the baby boomers, who matured were young people through the 1960s, there is little employment or stable employment at the moment, and there's little money to define identity through consumption practices. At moments of unemployment or underemployment, though, leisure practices become even more important to the definition of the self in society. So the notion of what is young now is very different from the 1960s. It's the 1980s, though, that offered a break in this narrative history of post-war British youth culture. Through the 1980s, youth were no longer required as a market. They were therefore unmade as easily as they were made in the 1950s. During the 1980s, the radicalism, rebellion, and resistance of youth were no longer defining characteristics. The gradual decline of the birth rate in the 1970s created a social structure that by 1980 resulted in the proportion of the population over 60 rising to nearly 30%. Concerns with an ageing population are the new threat of our times. Through demographic shifts, the natural link between consumption, particularly of popular music, and youth culture has been severed. Similarly, the power of sexual determination and experimentation have been lost through the prevalence of AIDS. Youth culture was formed through the affluent conditions of post-war Britain, the United States, Australia, and Canada. As the affluence and available employment has declined, so have the spectacular youth cultural styles. The repercussions of this cultural shift in the last 40 years, for those of us who analyse popular culture, is profound. The baby boomers were a politicised generation. They occupied the streets. But the youth cultures after the 1960s, after the 1970s, always appeared to be playing with popular culture and consumerism rather than proper politics. So it's the politics of desperation that have shadowed young people through the 1990s and the 2000s, resulting in inward attacks on the self rather than outward assaults on the state. The political struggles of the 1960s and the 1970s could not be repeated. Post-youth cultures through the 1990s and 2000s have become almost pastiched cover versions of earlier hip subcultures from the 1960s and the 1970s. So Green Day becomes the new punk. Goths again pepper our city centres. It's almost like an endless rerun of the young ones. Expired subcultures like hippies, like punks, like sociologist lefties, all circulating in one place and one time. So all these past youth cultures all exist in our present. The problem for you to consider is this: when politics is a style, then through time, a style is all we have left.